And, you know, as we were saying before, I spoke to you on election night, and you had mentioned that concealed carry was, you know, there were obviously other priorities that were up high on your list, but
certainly,
concealed carry was one of the things that you were looking to, you know, looking to address. And now with this ruling, if it's not overturned, if there's no successful appeal, the legislature has, I believe, 180 days.
Right. 180 days is what the court has laid down at this point in time for us to make some changes.
And I would say that, first off, are you happy with the court's decision?
I am happy with the court's decision. I think that my colleagues and I have said for some time now that certainly Illinois, now being the only state with some form of legal carry, it doesn't mean that Illinois generally gets things right. So I think it's time for us to move forward.
And when I had State Senator Sullivan in here before, he was saying that, you know, as a Democrat, he supports concealed carry legislation, and that in Illinois, it's less a Democratic-Republican issue, more of a regional issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most often we see that a lot of the downstate legislators, both Democrats and Republicans, support some form of concealed carry. And that was evidenced by House Bill 148 that had vast support from both sides of the aisle.
And I think one of the things that he said is that he believes, you know, a responsible concealed carry law can be crafted, but it would have to have some strong terms within it, or some terms within it to, you know, to promote safety for, you know, background checks, court, maybe, you know, training courses. What kind of, let's, you know, for lack of a better term, safety measures would you believe would be necessary for a responsible concealed carry bill?
Certainly. And I think a lot of it is included in House Bill 148. And in that bill, the safeguards were really outlined pretty definitely. And one of them was certainly that they were issued any permits would be issued by the state police. However, the local sheriff's departments had the opportunity to deny anyone. And to me, that was huge, because the local sheriff's department, they're in tune to the folks that are applying. So all those applications would also go through the local sheriff's department before they would be approved by the state police. In addition, it did not allow for concealed carry in schools, college campuses, libraries, and a private business owner also had the opportunity to say, no, you cannot carry on my property.
And so, you know, for a, you know, that, what was the name of that law, the House bill that failed?
House Bill 148.
So House Bill 148, it sounds like you would maybe favor something in the mold of that, or maybe modeled on that. What do you think caused that to not be passed, that could maybe be addressed in a future bill that would come up now?
Sure. First of all, Speaker Madigan required a supermajority. That was his decision. Normally, it would be a simple majority to pass that. But because Speaker Madigan ruled that it needed a supermajority, it was more difficult to get the votes. I believe we were 3 votes short. With this ruling, I'm hopeful that there are some of my colleagues from the Chicago area that certainly would like to see some form of concealed carry, but they feel that the pushback from their constituents is not one that they can overcome. So perhaps with this court ruling, it would make that decision easier for them to make.
And one of the things that, again, State Senator Sullivan referenced was the fact that, you know, being a regional issue, some of the concerns and considerations for a concealed carry bill are different in downstate Illinois than they are in Chicago. And do you think that, you know, acknowledging that difference is part of getting a successful piece of legislation through?
Absolutely. It is paramount. And just to give you an example, one of my colleagues in the House, a Democrat from Chicago, she represents the Back of the Yards neighborhood in Chicago, one of the most violent areas. And you have to respect where she or any of your colleagues are coming from when they make a vote on that or whatever issue. I think all of us do our very best to represent our districts, and while she herself can see the merits, she also has to realize what her constituents are telling her.
And would you maybe be willing and – I realize this is hypothetical, so it's, you know, but would you be maybe willing to increase some of the controls or safeguards from the earlier House draft if it meant getting the support of more Chicago area legislators?
I think that we're going to have to be very careful how we proceed on this. And as I said, a lot of what was contained in 148, it took a long time to come to agreement in that bill. We want to be very careful. My fear is that with this court ruling, some folks will take it to the other extreme and say, okay, you know, it's Katie bar the door now and anything goes. And we have to be very careful that we find a balance somewhere in between where we are not putting people at risk, and we're also allowing them their Second Amendment right, which the courts have pretty much said we have to do. We also have to wait and see what our Attorney General is going to do. It's uncertain at this time. She could ask for the full court to weigh in on it. I believe there was three members of the court that made this decision. She could ask for the full court to make a decision. She could also take it to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know. I can't see into her mind, but that's also a very dangerous step because depending upon what the ruling is, there are a lot of states that have some form of concealed carry, but it's very restrictive. If we were to get the Supreme Court involved in it and they were to make a decision, it could have a ripple effect on those states saying you are too restrictive. So I'm not certain that our Attorney General is willing to put them in that position either.
And also, you know, as I said before, there are other issues going on.
Yes.
Besides just this one. I was going to take this opportunity. Pension reform obviously is an issue that's not new.
No. Nope.
Not late breaking news. Well, in some ways it is. I know the recent push sort of for a new framework for pension reform that's been making its way through the veto session lately. I was just wondering maybe having the opportunity of having you here, could you maybe speak to that? What are your thoughts on this latest sort of push for this new framework for addressing the pension issue that's been
sure.
come up
and,
lately?
Sure. And I have spoken to a lot of groups about the plan that is in process and the folks that are behind it. And Representative Elaine Nekritz from the Chicago suburban area. Elaine is an attorney. She's one of the folks that has been crafting the legislation. Representative Dan Biss, who will soon be a senator from the Evanston area, and he also has been working with Elaine on this. Dan is also a professor at MIT. Both of them are brilliant individuals. And then from the Republican side of the aisle, Representative Mike Fortner also has been working on this legislation, and Mike is a physicist. So we have a lot of brilliant minds that are working on it. And the reason I bring that up is I think that it is very important when you have some numbers folks and you have an attorney, if we realize the fact that we have to make some changes, but we want those changes to be constitutional or it's all for naught. And not only that, we want whatever we do to actually address the problem and have some kind of a fix. So I think that we're not there yet. And my fear is that, you know, the governor says we've got to do pension reform. We've got to do pension reform. It's, you know, it's on the front burner. But generally, when we rush things, we get it wrong. So it's my hope that whatever we do it slowly and methodically and address each and every aspect of the five pension systems and the folks involved in it. So I think that you know, this is a step in the process, and hopefully it'll be something that eventually brings us to a resolution.
And also, are there any other issues that, you know, you would like to see addressed either in the few remaining days there are in this session or maybe first up next session?
I think that there are a lot of things coming forward in the lame duck session that will run from the 3rd through the 8th. Medical marijuana, of course, is back on the agenda. I'm not certain if Representative Lang has the votes. There was some issues with who would be the providers and this and that. So that's kind of being worked out. So we fully expect to see medical marijuana come up at least during the lame duck session. There will perhaps be a push for driver's license for undocumented. That has passed the Senate, so it's sitting in a committee in the House right now.
And what are your thoughts on that specific issue? Do you think that the controls they have put on that they cannot be used as another form of ID, that they are only applicable to driving, is that sufficient to gain support in the House of Representatives?
I have heard, and it may in fact be sufficient to gain the majority of the support. I have heard from a lot of folks in my district that are not supportive of it. A lot of folks also in my district in law enforcement that don't feel it goes anywhere near far enough. There's no fingerprinting involved. So there are a lot of concerns that I have heard from the folks in the district. So I think we're going to have to wait and see if there's amendments to it in the House. But and even if the Speaker decides to call it, we don't know. That'll be his decision, certainly. The other issue that we have, the governor is looking for additional supplemental funding. And it's our understanding that that's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $1 billion. So another issue we're going to have to address and where we're going to find that money.
All right. Thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for the opportunity. Always glad to see you.